Science and Technology.
Green Energy. The Second Age of Sail. A return to wind power will help ship owners meet emission targets.
In 1926, an unusual vessel arrived in New York after crossing the Atlantic. This was a converted sailing ship renamed Baden-Baden. Its two masts had been torn down and a pair of 15-meter-high revolving cylinders were mounted on its deck instead. Known as Flettner rotors, after Anton Flettner, their German inventor, the rotors worked like sails. Not only were they extremely efficient, allowing the vessel to consume less than half the fuel an oil-powered ship of a similar size would use, they also let the craft tack closer to an oncoming wind than its original canvas rigging allowed. The rotors were hailed as a great achievement at the time, praised by Albert Einstein, among others, before cheap oil caused interest to wane. More recently, the cost of oil has been rising, and not just financially. Ships, which transport more than 80% of the world's goods, account for some 3% of humanity's greenhouse gas emissions, a similar fraction to aviation. Ports are, therefore, imposing emission limits on marine craft. The International Maritime Organization has set targets to reduce emissions to net zero by around 2050. The imprecision arises because at present there is no easy way of getting there. A return to sail has been heralded before as a way to cut pollution. It has led, in recent years, to renewed interest in Flettner rotors, as well as other wind technologies, including rigid sails, giant kites, and tall structures called suction sails. Yet the marine industry, like many of its vessels, can take a long time to change course. After a period in which progress was limited to fanciful sketches and small-scale trials, shipowners are now starting to place orders to retrofit existing cargo ships and build wind-assisted vessels. A new age of sail may be in the offing. Wind is particularly suitable as a form of auxiliary power for larger deep-sea vessels. Battery technology cannot at present power much beyond small craft operating on short routes. And though alternative fuels made via green processes, such as biofuels, hydrogen and ammonia, have the necessary oomph, little infrastructure exists to make and distribute them. Initially, at least, they will be expensive. Hence, even for ships that use alternative fuels, harnessing the wind will help reduce costs and emissions further. Flettner rotors remain an attractive solution. As the wind flows around the revolving cylinders, the rotation creates an area of higher air pressure on one side and lower pressure on the other. Thanks to a phenomenon known as the Magnus effect, which also helps spinning balls curve, this pressure differential creates a force at right angles to the wind direction. On a horizontal aircraft wing, it generates lift. On a vertical rotor, it helps push a ship forward. The rotors can be turned at different speeds and in different directions, allowing them to be trimmed to the prevailing wind conditions. All this is done automatically, so no additional crew are needed. Among the companies supplying modern-day Flettner rotors is Norse Power, a firm based in Finland. Earlier this year, it won what it says is the biggest ever wind propulsion deal, with an order to fit 6 35-meter rotors to each of 3 new cargo ships being built for Louis Dreyfus Armateurs, a French shipping owner. The vessels will be chartered to Airbus, a European aerospace group. Each will carry enough partially constructed aircraft made up of fuselages, wings and tails to be assembled into 6 A320 airliners at Airbus's factories in America. Norse Power has already fitted 8 ships with rotors and has a backlog of orders worth €30 million, that's $32 million. The ships in service show a reduction in fuel consumption and thus a similar drop in emissions of between 5% and 25%, says Thomas Risky, the firm's outgoing CEO. Each rotor costs around €1 million, which he says can be repaid in fuel savings over 3 to 10 years. While roughly similar savings are promised by other auxiliary wind-powered systems, exact comparisons are difficult because much depends on factors including wind conditions and the type of ship, as well as its speed and course. If companies wanted to rethink their logistics, Mr. Risky reckons captains could idle their engines most of the time. Rather than sticking to set schedules, voyages could be planned along routes with the most favourable winds, much as they used to be in the age of sail. This might mean non-perishable goods take a bit longer to arrive, but shippers would be rewarded with a much lower carbon footprint. Other old ideas are being revived. In 1985, another unusual craft sailed into New York. This was the Alcyon, a research vessel built by Jacques-Yves Cousteau, a French oceanographer and filmmaker. It was fitted with a pair of suction sails, tall cylinders fitted with electric fans to draw air into perforated strips down their sides. These suck the airflow closer to that side, reducing drag and creating up to 7 times more force than a conventional sail, according to Bound for Blue, a company based in Cantabria, northern Spain, which produces a modern version it calls e-sails. Found in 2014 by 3 aerospace engineers, Bound for Blue counts Bertrand Charrier, who helped Cousteau develop the Alcyon, among its advisors. The firm has already installed a number of e-sails, including 3 22-metre versions retrofitted to the Ville de Bordeaux, a roll-on-roll-off transport ship also chartered to Airbus. The company has 5 other installations in progress, including a chemical tanker. Again, fuel savings depend on the type of vessel being powered and on the details of how it is operated. The company is having third-party evaluations done to establish typical performance figures. The e-sails could be used on almost any large marine vessel, says Dana Camps, the firm's head of marketing, although they might have to be modified for some ships. As the deck of a container ship, for example, is usually piled high with boxes which need regular handling, any auxiliary wind power system needs to avoid getting in the way. Helpfully, rotors and suction sails can be fitted with lowering mechanisms, which are also useful when passing under low bridges. Similarly, unobtrusive systems could also be installed on cruise liners, which now resemble giant floating apartment blocks, but the payback period would be longer because they spend a greater proportion of their time with their passengers relaxing in ports. Some large vessels continue to hoist sails, albeit of the rigid variety used on modern racing yachts. These too work like vertical aircraft wings. One ship fitted with rigid sails is Pyxis Ocean, a bulk carrier owned by the Mitsubishi Corporation. The 5-year-old vessel was retrofitted in China with 2 37.5-metre-high sails called Wind Wings, designed by Bahr Technologies, a marine engineering firm based in Portsmouth on Britain's south coast. The Pyxis Ocean has been chartered by Cargill, a giant foods group, to carry grain. After 6 months at sea, the Wind Wings have cut fuel consumption by about 15%, although the company reckons 3 sails could cut average fuel use by 30% or more. Oceanbird, a Swedish company, is installing 6 giant wing sails on the Orcel Wind, a new vehicle carrier with a capacity for some 7,000 cars, due to enter service in 2027. Oceanbird reckons the sails could deliver 50 to 60% lower emissions compared with conventional vehicle carriers. Another option is to tow ships along with giant kite sails, similar to the parafoil kites used by kiteboarders. In February, Kawasaki Kisen Kaisha, a big Japanese ship owner also known as K-Line, acquired a French startup called Airseas, which has been developing a kite sail it calls Sea Wing. These can be launched and retrieved automatically from a ship's bow, minimising their on-deck footprint. Airseas tested a Sea Wing last year on a K-Line cargo ship. They are expected to reduce carbon dioxide emissions by some 20%, says K-Line. With some 50,000 large cargo vessels of various sorts plying the high seas, each with an average life expectancy of 30 years or so, it is going to take some time for the shipping industry to clean up its act. But clean it up it must. If their vessels continue to belch fumes, then shipowners will soon find themselves unable to operate within many ports. Though the number of vessels returning to wind power remains small for now, this technology clearly has the wind in its sails.